Not Christianity, but religion. This man says that religion has a meaning for men only if it can find in history a certain point to which it can absolutely surrender. Christianity, then, or a Christian, is real, and his faith is authentic, and his relationship is what God requires, if and only if he finds someone to whom he can totally surrender himself. I want to repeat, a man's bragging about I'm saved is no good unless by that he expresses the fact that he's met somebody to whom he made total surrender. We can answer rightly God's call and elective grace in Christ Jesus only by choice, a resolve, a commitment, and that commitment is the commitment of oneself, utterly, with utter abandonment to another. Christ Jesus didn't come and die on a cross to do anything short of possessing us. Whether you are saved or damned, you belong to Jesus Christ. He bought you. And if he sends you to hell, he'll send you to hell because you belong to him by purchase price, and he's got a right to save you or damn you. Every church in America, some more than others, and every preacher and every individual Christian need desperately to re-examine what's involved in answering God's call. What's involved in saving faith, which is response to the revelation of God in Christ and his call through the Spirit in the gospel? What's God calling men to, and how can Ralph Barnett or anybody else properly and savingly respond to God's elective call? I don't know of anything more important than that. And under God, if God Almighty could be pleased to use somebody in this congregation to come up with some good answers as to how we can start all over again, Yelly, and rescue the word faith, make it meaningful again, how we could stop this traffic in the souls of men, going through the motion of profession and church membership and so forth, without any dynamic change that keeps on changing in the lives of men and women. How can we re-examine our message and our methods to the air that we could do a better job of being true? True to men and women. Telling them the truth. Telling them in love, but telling them the truth. Not trying to get people converted by hiding the truth from them. Not what we've called evangelism of the last 60 years. That is built on the proposition that the less truth, the more results. This is a serious proposition. I do not know about you. My father and mother are both gone. Last Lord's Day was my mother's birthday. She'd be 92 if she is living. Yesterday was my father's birthday. He'd be 95 if he's living. I'm one of six remaining children, brothers and sisters. My older brother is gone. I have five brothers and sisters, one of them in California. One's in Montana. Two are in Alabama. One's in Georgia. They are products of what's called Christianity today. They're all devout, faithful, hard-working church people. And only one of them gives the tiniest little bit of evidence. We can't judge, but it is. Oh, we look for just a little bit of evidence if they're your loved one. My soul, how people are being butchered today by the fact that for the last 100 years we've been whittling down on what saving faith is. What God demands of men and women as a response to his dying on a cross in Jesus Christ. My loved ones are as honest as you are. They're as sincere as you are. They're as kind-hearted, humane, good neighbors, all of that you are. But they are the product of what passes for salvation and the gospel and Christianity in cross-section of America. My soul, I wish something could take place where churches all over the country are making Christians. Men and women who have faced up to the fact that the last word that God Almighty says to a man's not, I save. The last word he says to an individual is, I claim. You are mine. Belong to me. You belong to me. Well, the chief sign of salvation's not a sense of freedom, but it's an experience of being mastered by somebody. And I look in the face and tell you now that you're not fixing to become a Christian unless you're willing to be utterly conquered by and mastered by and ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody's trying to wish anything off on anybody. Nobody's trying to get you to accept anybody. And if you're determined to split hell wide open in spite of everything, nobody can keep you from it. But I'm telling you, if you want to be saved, you're going to have to be willing to be utterly mastered, utterly conquered, utterly possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish we'd quit trying to talk people into accepting Jesus. I don't know what good that'd do anyhow, for men don't need to accept him. They need to surrender to him, for that's exactly what he demands. How can men savingly respond to the Holy God who in Christ Jesus bought you lock, stock, and barrel with his own precious blood? How? The scripture's divided up, I think, and we could say three things quickly. First, saving faith, savingly to respond to God's claim upon you in Jesus Christ dying on a cross in your behalf. Saving faith. That faith that'll do to ride the river with, since everybody's got faith. That faith that is man's act and God's gift. That faith that is the method through which God works salvation in a human being. That faith requires very simply a response of Ross Barnard, not of my soul, but of me. Of me. He didn't come down here to save your soul, honey. He came down here to possess you. You. And if we'll cut out that silly stuff that all of us talk about, every last one of us, he saved my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. He didn't know what to say. He saves people. People. He bought you. He owns you. He possesses you. Not a part of you. Not some ghost running around. He's after men and women. And the only way that Rothbard can respond to God's claim and demand upon him in his call from a cross is to do exactly toward him that he did toward us. He didn't give us some advice. Bless God, he gave us himself. You're going to have to give yourself to it. If you want a nice little salvation, you can put up and refer to it now and then, talking about your saving, so praise the Lord. But no, if you want him to have you lock, stock, and barrel, you! 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 Not part of you, but you! Not some of your time, but you! Not this damnable stuff about you ought to give your talents to the Lord. You ain't got nothing to start with. He and the fellow, my goodness alive, isn't that silly? But he wants you, and he's not going to trade for anything beside you. He's not going to accept anything short of you. Here I am, Lord. I surrender. He gave himself for you. You're going to have to give yourself to him. That, bless God, is a part of saving faith. That's what it is. Away with this foolishness. about accepting something or believing something or trusting something. Salvation isn't in reference to a something. Salvation's in reference to a someone. Saving faith is the response of me, all there is of me. That's reading, bless God, the scripture don't know nothing about one act of faith saving anybody. Hell gonna be full of Baptists talking about what God did 30 years ago. Every reference to faith and belief, saving belief in the New Testament, this is the God's truth, is in the present tense. He that believeth just keeps on. We are kept by the power of God. How? Through faith. Somebody says, "Will I lose my faith? Will I go to heaven?" No, sir. That's a silly question. But the only way God keeps you is how? Through faith. My soul, anybody on earth that's willing to trust yesterday is silly. Got to be today. If salvation were a transaction that I could settle, Brother Paul, and lock it up in the safe and refer to it now and then, be a white horse of a different color. But salvation is a bringing into a relationship of two persons. And every decision and every involvement between persons must be renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed. That's right. Oh, you're a day late if you're talking about what happened yesterday in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't understand why Ralph Barnes has to repent every day. I have to put my faith again in Jesus Christ every day. Bless God, I need him today just as badly and much and terribly and absolutely as ever I will or ever I did. I can't make it today without appropriating the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Oh, my soul, don't tell me about your beliefs. Tell me about your daily faith. Feeding upon and appropriating all the living Christ. That's faith. That's faith. That produces life. Not Phariseeism that stalks us. The devil can't get us one way, he'll do it another, you know. We're never safe from his attacks if we are headed in the right direction. Oh, my soul. Every day must be a renewing of relationship with the living Lord. It's only this kind of response, a daily response, that the New Testament talks about. Authentic or saving faith is that response that's required, which one surrenders himself utterly to the sovereignty of God in Christ. You can put it down that unless God's claims, sovereign claims, are bowed to, you'll never know peace. You'll never know peace. You can put it down that you can't keep your shotgun pointed in the direction of the heart of God and have his peace. I'm telling you the truth. that the very heart of saving faith is a crisis and then a daily dealing with the claims of an all-sovereign God. That means He's simply God, very God. I'm saying to you that saving faith has one thing that it's got to face, and it has to face it every day, for every day, for as thy days, so shall thy strength be, and that is we abound to the will of God. What it means to have faith. The will of God. We are under another. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. Unless you're willing to have the one thing foremost in every day's experience, the will of God. You haven't faced the demands of God on a cross for a proper response. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're talking about doing the will of God yesterday, you're a day late. This thing's got to be faced every day. Every day. Every day. This is the biggest thing between the eternities. There isn't anything else mounts to hill or be. Whose will is to be done today? Well, out there right now, you can't depend on past experience here. This thing is vital. It's concerned with a relationship. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but who will? Don't try to get your doctrine to sow this out. This in the Bible, too, and it don't contradict anything else, but it just simply says the guy that will is the fellow that doeth. That's continuous. What? The will of God, brother. That won't fix you, make you roll up your sleeves, spit on your hands, and get out of your nice little comfortable religious pew. Brother, this thing's a day-by-day proposition. Oh, last Lord's Day, I got him gave a testimony and bragged on the Lord, but that ain't worth a hill of beans. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that's orthodoxy. But he that doeth the will of God, God help us, this ain't serious. As long as we keep preaching to men and women that they ought to be saved, or they go to heaven when they die, and they can just float along and they get baptized, and that's all of it. God gonna save them by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's all good. But no, bless God, a salvation that doesn't rightly relate yourself to the doing of the will of God is not God's salvation. That's right, folks. Saving faith involves, hear me, the surrender of oneself to be a part of God's program of redemption. Be a part of God's program of redemption. Yes, something that if Satan had a heart that was as soft as a bunch of steel, it'd break his heart even. Men and women who've been led to believe they're rightly related to God in Jesus Christ, who are not committed utterly. To God's redemptive program through them. What are you talking about, Brother Barnes? I've mentioned it before, I mention it again before I leave you. The tragedy of what we call Christianity in America that's causing Christianity to die in America, to rot, is the fact that we've divorced salvation from accepting the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ to be His instrument in His program of redemption. And many of you believe that you were included when the Lord breathed on them, said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," John chapter 20. And then He said what? "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." You in on that? Who's that talking to? Huh? I tell you, you know that's pretty embarrassing. Let's adopt this. I've read this. It's pretty popular. That's just for the apostles. That all right? Can't take that? No? Well, who on earth is it talking about? You in on it? Huh? God help me, I got no business claiming to be a Christian unless I've gladly received this commission to represent Jesus Christ. That's what He said. Huh? Can't pay nobody else to do that for me, can I? Huh? Huh? No, sir, my soul, this is it. Well, God, burn out the icicles from our nice little icicle, regular, futile, futile faith today. Pour out a portion of the Holy Ghost to set us on fire, to somehow soothe the burning quality of our testimony. We might make a penetration at least an inch deep in the thick skin of this godless generation. Nothing short of men on fire. Nothing short of churches utterly consumed with the fire from heaven, with the immensity and the responsibility that Jesus Christ left us with the job of representing. When I graduated from seminary in Fort Worth, Texas January of 1930, that's a few years ago. The president of the seminary, a blessed man, called me into his office and said, "Brother Barnard, I've been watching you, and the brethren have been reporting on you, and we believe God's called you to do the work of an evangelist. And said, if you would, I wish you would get in the car with me. And I want to take you over to Dallas, see the secretary of our convention, and see if he wouldn't put you on the evangelistic force of the Texas Baptist." Well, I went with it. Didn't work out. But going over there, I pass on this experience. And I hope the Lord will take the eyes off of a little weak me, but I want to leave this with you. Going on over there, that blessed, white-haired, greatly used man of God literally burned himself out in the cause of Jesus Christ. That's a good way to burn yourself out. He said to me, "Brother Ross," he said, "I hear one mighty bad thing about you. Some of the brethren have told it on you." And I began to tremble. I thought he found out I robbed a bank or something. He let that soak in a little while. He said, the brethren say you'll be dead time you're 30. That you won't be able to last very long. The pace you set for yourself said you'll burn yourself out time you're 30. And I was a pretty much stem winder then. Therefore, my old body got to where I couldn't do it anymore. I really burned them up. No way's riding, I but I did. And I said to him the truth. I said, well, Dr. Scarborough, I realize they're telling the truth, and I'm trying to correct myself of it, but I'm utterly unable to do it. The only way I know you. And when I got through my apology, he said, thank God. And then he said something that maybe isn't good theology, but it's pretty good theology. You'll think it through, and God bless you. He said, young man, I want you to learn. Listen to me now. That it takes the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of God's people to carry out the redemptive program of Almighty God. He knew what he's talking about. Let us stand. Well, out in singing tonight, if I may be permitted, I'm going to ask you to go home. Is that all right, Brother Pastor? God help us. I've preached to God's people. How can we do a better job than we've been doing? Facing men with what it actually means to savingly respond to the call of God. Our Father in bloodstained Jesus' name, and we think if we know our hearts, we pray in for His glory. We think we do at least. These desperate hours, when so little of spiritual power, so little of faith. Oh, God, come to the rescue of your people. Anoint us, garrison us, equip us. The spirit of the age is too much for us in our own strength, oh God. Helplessly but hopefully we say, as little children we come and say, oh God, come to our rescue that we may come to the defense of the gospel in our day. We beg in Christ's name that you'll speak as you see fit to people here tonight. Demand of them nothing short of total surrender. In His name we pray. Amen.